This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. Today, I'm thrilled to be joined by Molly Gamble. Molly's one of our regular guests. She's in charge of the entire editorial team at Becker's Healthcare. We're talking today about what issues she's watching currently. She recently was moderated a number of keynote sessions at the Becker CEO and CFO Roundtable. She's going to talk a little bit about some of her observations of what trends CEOs and CFOs are watching. Molly, do you want to take it away and tell us a little bit about what you're seeing today, what you're watching, what CEOs and CFOs are following and more?
Sure. Yeah. Thanks, Scott. I know you two had a lot of panels at the event. So we were kind of two ships in the night, but I would be curious to learn what stood out to you from your panels and discussions. But I think one big takeaway I had out of that CEO-CFO event, it was the ninth that we've had, and I don't think I've ever heard nurses mentioned at the rate that they were this year, for good reason, of course, but I think it's a really interesting development because for years and years, nurses have been pretty underrepresented in healthcare media. There's been studies finding that the healthcare media in 97, they made up only 4% of sources and quotes and stories about healthcare. 20 years later, it fell to 2%. So I think this group has long felt that their perspective has not been front and center or even included as much as it should be. So to have CEOs and CFOs in all of these conversations talking about nurses the way they were, it really struck me. I'm not sure if you thought something similar, had the same experience with your panels, but it was a big standout.
I think there's so many interesting things that come out of that. I think there's three or four things that drive that. First is the obvious one, which is the incredible work shortages that staffing shortages the health systems are facing with nursing shortages. Second is how much nurses were so front and center in the pandemic and how much they were just sort of the lifeline of so many hospitals, the face of care of so many hospitals, more so than doctors, more so than anybody else. Nurses were sort of the front line and the viewed and perspective of the front line. The third thing I've seen happen is more and more nurses, whether it's Jenny Spiso at UCLA, Nancy Agee at Carilion Clinic, more and more nurses, and there's a whole lot more, are CEOs of health systems. This great mix of intelligence, compassion, understanding how health systems work, and very adaptable human beings, just more front and center. And I think the fourth thing I think that drives so much of this is there's more and more shortages of physicians and long-term shortages of physicians. It's the systems, if anything, are relying more and more on nurses as primary care physicians, as caretakers, as people taking care of people in the hospital. In every single role, there are also, while there are shortages of nurses, they're filling a gap also left by huge shortages in physicians, where physicians sort of sometimes flit in and out of situations. Nurses are there all the time. So I think there's really four or so things that I think are driving that, the increased prestige and recognition of the importance of nurses. And I couldn't agree with you more. It's just a front and center discussion. And there's just more and more leaders. There's always been great nurse leaders. They're more visible today. There's more that have elevated the CEO spot. I think it's just a fascinating, fascinating perspective on sort of the elevation of nurses in American healthcare. Fascinating. It's sort of the Florence Nightingale in droves added onto executive leadership and executive leadership capacity. It's really a fascinating perspective you bring to that, Mal. Any other things that struck you that you heard a lot about that you've not heard as much about in the past with the CEO-CFO roundtable? I think it's a magnificent observation.
I'm curious how any mention or when we talk about people practicing at top of license, the Vanderbilt University Medical Center CEO had this really great, he put it wonderfully. He said, we need to figure out how to do more with fewer people. Like the push has come to shove. We really need to figure this out. We've been talking about it for a long time. And I'm curious what that will entail and whether that means more virtual care, virtual nursing even, what that will look like. But I also think it's going to be interesting because there's really rich turf wars still occurring. I know when the PAs were trying to do a rebrand, the American Medical Association came out and slammed it. They do not want any confusion among the public of who is a physician and who is not. So it's for strategy and to keep things running and for healthcare and access, we absolutely need to make sure that we have people practice at the top of their license, but the culture and the politicization and some of the politics around this, I think it's going to be a very interesting next few years to see if those turf wars, like I said, tone down or evolve at all, because there's still some really strong attitudes about, you stay over there, this is my role, I want everyone to know this, and this distinction needs to be made very, very clear.
And I think it's a complicated issue. I mean, there's plenty of places where CRNAs, physician assistants, are practicing at the top of their license, and I think more and more physicians acknowledge that it's just needed, particularly in places where there's just incredible shortages of physicians. But I think this turf war over title is a fascinating one. I mean, you have in the nurse anesthetic role, nurse anesthetist now want to be called nurse anesthesiologist. And I think it's the same with physician assistants. They want to be called something like a physician rather than a physician assistant. And it's a fascinating perspective because you've got this perspective. On one hand, you've got the physicians who have often gone to school till they're 30 by the time you're done with residences, fellowships, stuff like that. Sure, he's gone to school till their 30s. Nurse anesthetists, nurse anesthesiologists are done a lot sooner than that. The same thing with physician assistants. There is clearly an overlap in the care that they provide. But I think from a physician perspective, MA perspective, they've earned that title. And so that to see it given to others when they've gone that far causes some of that consternation. And I'm not sure there's a right or wrong answer. Certainly from a right perspective, we more and more need everybody practicing at the top of their license, no question, to make sure healthcare works in America. We've got 330 million people in an aging population. But I do have a lot of empathy for the physician perspective on it, where they've, you know, mostly taken hundreds of thousands of dollars of debt and gone to school till they're 30 by the time they're done with residencies and fellowships. And so I think there's empathy for their position on it, but there's also a complete belief that everybody should practice at the top of their license. And there's some overlap, of course, in those roles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the PA rebrand is for, they want to be called physician associates. I think it's going to be an interesting, we'll keep an eye on it. I'm sure we'll continue to hear about it at our events, which I'm so looking forward to, but it caught my attention and it's something that I'm eager to continue to learn about and see what the attitudes are and how they evolve if they do.
100%. No, and I think they will continue to evolve. Certainly the physician associates, physician assistants, PAs, you know, want to be thought of more as a side-by-side with the physician versus an assistant, and more that's how they practice. But it is a fascinating perspective. I mean, I think the physicians are, of course, anesthesiologists. The physicians are zealous of their titles that were hard-earned, and not that they weren't for the physician assistants and the nurse anesthetists too, but it is a fascinating discussion. I mean, the first battle was practicing at the top of license, and more states allow that. They just need to, by necessity, something else. And then the second battle is often over titles. But what a fascinating discussion. Molly, as always, I want to thank you for taking the time to join us today on the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. It's an interesting discussion about the evolution of nurses in our culture, the evolution of nurses in practice, of everything about the nurse community and social importance. And then the titling issue of whether it's physician associate, physician assistant, nurse anesthetist, nurse anesthesiologist. Fascinating issues that are evolving. Thank you so much, Molly Gamble, for all you do for Becker's Healthcare and for joining us today.
Oh, thanks for having me.